You are listening to the 1% Christian, the daily Bible study where we get together for 1% of our day. We study God's word, then we head out to the remaining 99% to do something amazing with this life that God's given us. I'm Pastor J.D. Ambrosio with Sound of Heaven Church in Deer Park, New York. I invite you to check us out at soh.church. While you're there, download our free mobile app. It's a great resource in your pocket. We've got a digital Bible on there that you can keep with you all places. We've got all of our teachings. We've got an online community that you can communicate with, pray with. And if you're listening anywhere where you get your podcasts, like, share, subscribe to this stream, share it with somebody, and leave a 5-star review if that option is there, because that helps us to get in front of more people. And we have seen some really good steady growth over the last, I would say, 2 weeks. No telling why we get these kind of surges, but I love it. Maybe you're sharing. Maybe I say it every day. So maybe you're sharing. And if you are, I appreciate that very much. When we introduce people to the Word of God, things change in their life. Amen. And I love the way that we have been studying out this gospel of Matthew, right? What is a gospel? It is a message of the good news. And the gospel of Matthew, written by one of those that were closest to Jesus, one of the original disciples, right? One of the original 12, is really a powerful and detailed account of Jesus's earthly life and ministry. And the reason why I think it's so effective, and I get such good feedback from this study, is because a lot of times in the church, Christian TV, Christian radio, we tend to just go to scriptures that fit whatever we need in the moment, and we just draw from that, right? And the danger of that sometimes is that we can cherry pick scripture to try and apply it to whatever it is that we're going through. And that can lead to us taking scriptures out of context. But when you read the Bible in the manner that we have been doing, you know, within this podcast, it forces us to read it acknowledging what is going on in the actual text itself, how it relates to the original audience, what the author is really trying to get across, and it forces us, again, through the lens of proper context. And if we can read scripture in its proper context, right, understanding its original intent, we could properly apply it to our life. That's when we can really gain revelation from it, right? So that we are not just trying to fit it in. And fit it into our current life, how we see fit. Okay, I'm not saying that scripture is not relevant for us. This is all that whenever I talk about this, that's the charge that I always get coming against me. So you're saying this is not for us? No, I am not saying that at all. I'm saying it is for us. But we have to understand that the Bible is not written to us. It's written for us. So there are detailed accounts. There are different literary styles in the Bible that we need to pay attention to. Some are letters. Some are gospels. Some are historical narrative, right? That's where we get blamed a lot of times. Oh, there's slavery in the Bible. There's this in the Bible. There's that in the Bible. In the Bible, we have to understand there are prescriptions and descriptions, meaning there are things that the Bible tells us, do this. And then there are things that the Bible says, this happened. And the text that we are getting into now is one of the most misunderstood texts that I believe throughout all of Scripture and throughout all of humanity in relation to when God started putting his inspired word onto, let's call it, paper. Okay, we are going to be in Matthew chapter 24. But to go into this chapter properly, I feel very strongly that we need to recap what we have studied so far, even from the beginning of Matthew. Okay. And I feel strongly about this is because if we just jump into it, we may do a lot of what we see, because you will see, especially I'm telling you, going into an election year this year with all the events that we have happening in the world, you are going to see Matthew 24 quoted all over the place, or I should say misquoted all over the place. Because we have, even over the last couple of days, read through a chain of events that cannot be ignored, that leads to this conversation we see Jesus having that we know as the Olivet Discourse. But before we get there, let's go back and look through the Gospel of Matthew. And we'll do this quickly, but I do want to say at the outset here, that these next probably what I am estimating to be 7 to 10 days of study are going to feel a little bit different than what we normally go through, right? Because much of what we are talking about is Jesus addressing things. In the future, yes. In our future, no. Their future, okay? So some of this may be contrary to what you've learned. Some of this may be challenging, and all of this is open to your questions, further discussion. I want to lay that out there as well, because I believe this is very, very important. When I really read Matthew 24 for what it was, I felt a little bit like I was, I came out of the Matrix. If any of you have ever seen that movie where Neo, the main character, wakes up from this kind of pseudo world where he saw everything one way, this simulated world saw everything one way, and now he realizes that's not reality at all. And in this very way, I'll just speak from my own experience, and I give a lot of credit to meeting Johnny Over and becoming, having some challenging discussions around this, because I felt very, very differently about the topic we're about to get into early on in my Christian walk. And I've dedicated the better part of the last, I would say, 14 years to not only the study of some of these topics, but I've moderated debates on these topics, and ultimately the topic we're going to talk about is the end of the age. I've moderated debates on this, but I want to say I never stand before you and claim that I know everything. I'm just excited to dig deep into what the truths of God are. So let's take a few minutes, and again, this is going to be a little bit different than what we normally do. I want to just bring us up to speed, especially for those who have just started listening and maybe have not gone back to the beginning to the end. The Gospel of Matthew is written by Matthew the tax collector, the follower of Jesus. He was, I would say, a staunch Jewish man, but he wasn't liked very much as a tax collector. He was looked at as a traitor to the Jewish people, as all tax collectors were. But Matthew is written specifically to Jewish believers in the time of Jesus. And it presents that Jesus is not just a prophet, not just a coming king, but that everything that is foreshadowed by the prophets, including the forefathers like Moses, leads to Jesus. Matthew very early on also points that Jesus is in the line of David, why he is showing that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah. And when Matthew starts, we see John the Baptist baptizing in repentance. And we also see the beginning of what is being stirred in that region, and that is the religious leaders are starting to say, hey, what is going on here? Because they have literally 490 years and more than that, really, of temple worship that is starting to get pushed. And when they go to John the Baptist, if you remember, what did John the Baptist do? He calls them a brood of vipers, and he says, listen, the axe is already at the root of the tree. What did John the Baptist mean by that? John the Baptist was saying what has stood for a long time is about to come down. And what are we talking about? We're talking about the old covenant. We're talking about the temple worship. We're talking about the age where God dealt specifically with one bloodline of people. And that is what is introduced by John the Baptist when Jesus comes on the scene and gets baptized and presents himself. They begin to realize that he's not there for politics. See, they wanted somebody to come and be a king and free them from Rome, who controlled all of Jerusalem at that point. But Jesus comes and he seeks to establish not a physical kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom. One that offers salvation, one that offers redemption, one that offers eternal life, and ultimately, because the concepts of heaven can be now displayed properly on earth, it brings us here, not just in heaven, righteousness, peace, and joy. And by the time we get to Matthew chapter 5, Jesus has his famous Sermon on the Mount, and he really begins to start teaching what it means to operate in the kingdom of God. And he shares many things that need correction, things that they believed in the old covenant that were never what God intended. And this causes quite a stir. Jesus is now gathering his disciples. He's gathering followers. People are following him all over the place. And we see it as he gets out of the Sermon on the Mount that he goes out. Not only is he teaching the kingdom of God, but he is displaying the kingdom of God. And we see ultimately by about chapter 11, he starts delegating this same work. He tells the disciples, now you've watched what I'm doing. Now you go out and do it. And we're seeing the unfolding of what is the nature of the Great Commission, which we'll get to in a couple different chapters where Jesus solidifies that. But in chapter 12, we go through the parables. What were the parables? The parables were Jesus teaching the concepts of the kingdom of God in stories that had a relatable narrative, right? They were stories with an underlying meaning, and they all pointed to how to operate in the kingdom of God, the coming of the kingdom, and how what it meant to those that were there, particularly the religious leaders, those who were in power, that did not want to give it up. And what we've been studying for weeks now, again, we're about 45 to 50 hours in to the study of the Gospel of Matthew, is what? Chapter 13 through 21, all the way to when Jesus walks into Jerusalem for his last week, and that's what we're in. We're in the last week of Jesus' earthly ministry. We're seeing growing belief throughout the region. Kingdom application everywhere that Jesus goes. People are being healed, delivered, and saved. But we're also seeing growing opposition because it's becoming more and more apparent that what Jesus is doing is breaking down the old order and establishing a new covenant. And that new covenant is what you and I live in today, in its fullness. And in Matthew chapter 16, 28, I want to point that he, meaning Jesus, tells them, some of you will not taste death until you see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. He told them, some of them will still be alive when the Son of Man comes in his kingdom. So unless we want to start searching the nursing homes to see if any of the apostles are still alive, we have to take that statement seriously. Nobody on earth, well, maybe not nobody on earth. Everybody believes something out there, right? But I think we can say there are no apostles that walked with Jesus that are alive physically today. So we see growing belief, we see kingdom application, and we see growing opposition. And just a little bit ago, starting with Matthew in, I believe, 21, we see Jesus entering in for his last week of ministry. And he's what? Doing flipping over tables. He's really shaking things up. The crowds are screaming out to him, save us. They're acknowledging him as Savior and King. But what we just got out of Matthew 23, that's where I'm going to pick us up again. is going to properly bring us into Matthew 24 and forces us to look at the conversation that's going on. In the 1200s, they started putting chapters and verses in the Bible. And that's a blessing because it organizes the Bible. But unfortunately, what it does is it allows us to just turn to a chapter and start reading and make it whatever we want. We can't do that. Chapters and verses are there to help us. So I can say, hey, turn to John 3:16. But we have to realize that when the original authors wrote the scriptures, they didn't do chapter and verses. They kept going. So we have to look at 23 and how it goes directly into 24. And what we just came out of, what Jesus is saying, woe to the Pharisees. He's standing right in and around the temple. And he's saying, woe to you, Pharisees. Look at all the things that you are doing wrong. Okay? And he points out things that probably cut them to the heart, embarrass them in front of the Passover crowd. But now he's leaving. But before he leaves, he says this. And you know what? It says, therefore, this is Matthew 23:34-36. It says, therefore, I am sending you prophets and sages and teachers, some of you who you will kill and crucify, others you will flog in your synagogues and pursue from town to town. Now, is he talking about things today? No, he's talking about the early church that would go and be persecuted by the very people that would, you know, ultimately arrest and have Jesus crucified. It says, and so upon you, now check this out, upon you will come all the righteous blood that has been shed, from the righteous blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Verse 36, and I pointed this out the other day. Truly I tell you, all this will come on this generation. He makes a time statement there that we cannot ignore. We can't ignore it. He says, all the blood that has ever been shed of all the messengers I've ever sent, that God has ever sent, the Father in heaven, and ultimately the guilt of, you know, Jesus going to the cross was going to fall where? It was going to fall on that first century generation. Why? Because there was going to be a shift. What we are witnessing here is what we know in the Bible as the end of the age. The end of the age. And the end has been misconstrued for a very, very long time. And I'm hoping that we are going to bring some clarity to this. So Matthew 23 ends with this. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who were sent to you, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left desolate, for I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So as we go now into Matthew chapter 24, we have to acknowledge the conversation that just happened. We have to. And Jesus leaves, and we cannot automatically shift and now start saying, okay, now we can take this timeline of everything that Jesus is going to say and apply it 2,000 years later. Okay? So let's read forward. Matthew 24, 1 through 3. This is the beginning of the Olivet Discourse, where we acknowledge Jesus is about to release a prophecy over their future in response to a question. And over the coming probably 7 to 10 days, we're going to study this out bit by bit, looking at Jesus' prophecy, proper context, historical context. Let's read. Jesus left the temple. I want you to just imagine this in your mind. Jesus and the disciples are leaving the temple and walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Jesus just got done saying that there was going to be judgment on that generation for all the messengers that were killed. And he's walking away from the physical temple that they held so near and dear. He's walking away with the disciples, and they start pointing to the buildings. What do they say? Verse 2. Do you see all these things? So they are looking to see if Jesus is impressed with the buildings. Jesus says this, truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. Imagine the thoughts going through the heads of the disciples. Here they are expecting, you know, probably even the Messiah to still sit on some throne in that very temple, or for that temple to be, again, elevated to a place of greatness. And Jesus tells them, I'm going to tell you the truth here. Not one stone will be left unturned. That whole thing is going to be torn down. And this is a prophecy that even those who are skeptical about the deity of Jesus, skeptical about who Jesus is, scholars don't deny that Jesus is talking about the fall of the temple. And the fall of the temple was at a date that I've mentioned many, many times on this program, in 70 AD. That temple ultimately fell to the ground, just like Jesus said, and not one stone on it was left unturned. It's completely destroyed. So Jesus says, not one stone will be left. Everyone will be thrown down. Verse 3. So this obviously perplexed the disciples. And in verse 3, they says, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, so not far from there, Jesus sits down. And the disciples, probably a little bit troubled by what he said. First of all, it's against law, you know, human law, what he said. You know, talking about the temple that way. But, you know, they're really trying to get clarity as to what's going on here. And they ask him a question. And this question kicks off everything that we're going to study over the next couple days. They came to him privately, it says. It says, tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And I'm going to leave us with a little bit of a cliffhanger here. They ask a very detailed question that we have to take a hard look at. They says, when will this happen? When will the temple fall? Just like you just said, Jesus. When will be the sign of your coming, the coming of the Son of Man? And when will be the end of the age? Notice all those three are put together, and there's a reason for that. That word end in there, A-N-D, is the Greek word kai. Kai is what is known as a conjunction. I told you this would be a little teachery here. That's not even a word. I don't know, maybe it is. A conjunction connects two or more things that must happen at the same time in the same space. I want you to chew on that for a second. The nature of that question requires for all of these things to happen within the same time frame. So just keep that in mind as we go forward. Okay? Because what we're going to point to is an event that happened in 70 AD. And unlike a lot of our studies where we read and we say, okay, you know, we pull out of this, you know, what happens to us. We're going to read what? About wars, about famines. We're going to read about Jesus' prophecy about a lot of things that are going to happen, that were going to happen. And we have to acknowledge who he's talking to and what he's talking about. And I present to you that Jesus is pointing to an event that nobody denies that happened in 70 AD. And that's when Rome came down and destroyed that temple. And not one stone was left unturned. So I hope that this was a blessing to you to kind of tee this up. I know I'm leaving it on a bit of a cliffhanger, but I want to acknowledge, which we'll pick up with tomorrow, that their question, when will the temple fall? When will be the sign of your coming? And when will be the end of the age? All have to get answered within this prophecy, and we're going to dive into it. Amen? We're getting into some study here, which I enjoy with you. And some of these studies may be a little bit longer, and some of them may be shorter, because we're going to hit specific points. I would even like to, I'm not going to say it, because if I can't organize it, I don't want to make promises and not keep them. But I've got some ideas on how we can really dive into this, because I believe that this will set a lot of us free, because so many of us are looking at what's going on in the world, and we feel helpless. And we feel helpless partly because we feel like these things must happen. But the truth of the matter is that you and I have great authority to impact this world for Jesus and to change the trajectory of this world from a spiritual standpoint, which ultimately benefits all facets of society. I believe our study will do that. So my prayer for you is that you have an open mind and an open heart for what God is trying to tell us in these scriptures. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises, that you always keep your promises. Father, help us to read the Bible properly so that we can understand what it is you want us to glean from it. In Jesus' mighty name. I'm Pastor J.D. Ambrosio, Sound of Heaven Church in Deer Park, New York. Check us out, soh.church. This is the 1% Christian. We continue with Matthew chapter 24 tomorrow. I love you guys. Have a great day.